It is time for your KDNK local newscast for Friday, January 20th. I'm Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. Two busloads of Roaring Fork Valley residents head to Denver from Glenwood Springs Saturday, tomorrow, for the Women's March on Denver. Organizer Paula Casper from Newcastle originally planned to rent a van with a few friends for the trip, but after putting the word out, over 110 people responded, and now there's a waiting list. KDNK's Amy Haddon-Marsh talked to Casper about why she organized the trip and how it's already making a change.
How do you feel about this sort of quadrupling your original intention?
First of all, it surprised me. And second of all, it kind of has stimulated a desire in me to do more community-wise and to be more of an activist and more of a community organizer. Because if this is the kind of interest that people have, then we need more people on a local level to support this.
So the simple organizing of trying to get a few friends to go to the Women's March in Denver has inspired you to be more of an activist. What do you think that would look like?
Well, I think I would like to participate more on a local level, but also on a national level to ensure that certain human rights are not violated any more than they have been in the past. Stand up for women and women's rights, and then also the Marriage Equality Act. You know, I just really feel very passionate about making sure that that doesn't get reversed.
Well, Paula Casper, this is really exciting. Can you give me, paint me a picture maybe of what things will look like on the bus and then what you plan to do on Saturday?
Well, we are meeting at 5 o'clock in the morning, so it'll be dark in the parking lot of Glenwood Springs Mall. So that morning we'll be trying to navigate people on the buses that they choose to be on so they can be with their friends. And then we're hoping to create conversation around human rights on the bus between the women on both buses, because the rally bus has a chat feature and we can communicate back and forth between the buses. And then once we get there, my hope is that we as a group pretty much stay together as we march for the first hour and a half and then attend the rally and listen to the speakers and the music and, you know, do some resourcing and some networking and bring some of that energy back to the valley.
You say bring this back to the valley. Combined with your sort of newfound inspiration to do more, what do you think you'll do with what you learn on Saturday? How will you bring that back to the valley?
Oh, I'm not really sure yet. I just know that I no longer want to be a non-participant in the way that our government is run, and a non-participant in standing up for other people. I've always had a really good life. I've been very fortunate. And there are a lot of people out there that do not. And part of my work is working with children who do not have a lot of the things that I have had in my life. And I want to keep working towards that, helping children, helping women.
Paula Casper, thanks very much for taking the time today.
All right. Thank you, Amy. And thank you so much. It was my pleasure, believe me.
The buses to Denver from Glenwood Springs leave at 5 a.m. Saturday. There will also be a march and community meeting in Carbondale beginning at 9 a.m. at the Goat Restaurant parking lot. You can hear more about that at kdnk.org. Up next, KDNK News Director Gavin Dahl talks to Tavia Teitler from the Rampage student newspaper about her feature on diversity and racial bias for this week's News Brief.
Tavia Teitler is co-editor-in-chief of The Rampage, the student newspaper at Roaring Fork High School. Thanks for speaking to KDNK.
Thank you for having me.
How did this section come about? What kind of prompted you to do this?
I believe one of the greatest assets of Roaring Fork High School is the diversity of our student body. We have a huge Anglo population and a huge Latino population, and both of these cultures and the difference in backgrounds of all of our students adds a level of richness and experience to high school for all students that attend Roaring Fork. And we kind of wanted to highlight that and also explore the ways in which interaction between different cultures could be better. And do even more to help improve our school culture and our community.
One of the things that was real striking was you asked students what they think about race relations, and you published, I think, 7 examples from students across different age groups here at the school.
I think as a whole, RFHS is a very tolerant, accepting community, but there still is a tendency of students to spend time with and hang out with other students that are very similar to them and share similar cultural and ethnic backgrounds. And a really great thing about Roaring Fork is a lot of students are aware of that. But the next step after being aware that that's happening is figuring out how to change it and how to further embrace and kind of take advantage of the diversity that our school has to offer. A lot of this separation, I believe, is unconscious. I think people don't consciously decide that I'm going to hang out with other white students because I'm white, or I'm going to hang out with other Latino students because I'm Latino. It kind of happens because we have a tendency to think that we have more in common with others that look more like ourselves or come from similar backgrounds as ourselves. And I think an important step into expanding the tolerance and acceptance of our community is realizing the potential to have things in common and find commonalities with students that are very different from yourself. And that was kind of one of the aims of this focus.
And also want to ask you about the survey. You guys did a survey of something like 160 students about race relations. Mm-hmm. How did that come about and how did it go?
When we decided on the topic of the focus for January, we realized that we would need some more information about the student body and about people's opinions and mindsets regarding diversity and race relations at Roaring Fork. And so we put out the survey, and most students were very willing to respond. I think diversity and this kind of interaction between different cultures is something that is discussed frequently enough at Roaring Fork High School that students are used to hearing about it, used to discussing it, and are pretty willing to engage in the conversation.
You asked students, for example, do you think racial divisions exist at our school? What was the reaction?
So it was really interesting. About half of the students responded that they think racial divisions exist sometimes, and about a quarter of the students said that they didn't think they existed, and about a quarter of students said that they did think racial divisions existed. And I think that's pretty reflective of our community at Roaring Fork. Most students are aware that the way different races and students of different backgrounds interact with each other could be better. There's room for improvement. But also, I think the fact that the majority of students didn't say yes shows that our community is already doing a really good job of incorporating lots of different backgrounds and interacting well between different cultures.
One of the best things about this feature is your column about implicit racial bias, what it is and how it affects us. You mentioned that at assemblies, sometimes the entire room really is divided with Latino students on one side and Anglo students on the other. That's something you've seen, huh?
Yes, that is something that other students and faculty at Roaring Fork have observed for the past couple of years. It's kind of a frightening thing that occurs, and it's not intentional. I really believe it's not intentional. People aren't consciously trying to separate themselves, but that kind of automatic separation happens when we're not making enough of a conscious effort to reverse it. And in order to really take advantage of our diversity, we need to make a conscious effort to kind of fight against that and create opportunities for people to realize their commonalities with others that are very different from them.
What did you learn about implicit bias as you set out to write this piece?
Implicit bias is something I had heard about in the past, but it wasn't until I really started doing the research for this that I realized the scope of it. Implicit bias affects almost all of our perceptions and decisions. And I, in my research, realized I possessed implicit biases that I didn't agree with and wasn't aware of. And recognizing those has made it possible for me to start taking steps to correcting them and reversing them. And I think that was one of the most important parts of this for me, was letting people know that this kind of bias exists, that it's possible to be subconsciously racist or sexist without realizing it, and that it's important to realize that that's possible so that you can realize your own biases and then take steps towards correcting them. Because a lot of this kind of implicit bias allows us to make snap judgments and influences stereotyping and lots of the other problems that we face in a very culturally diverse world.
Tavia Teitler, wow, we really hope to have you back on KD&K. Keep us posted as you put out some more issues this school year, and thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you for having me.
KD&K's Gavin Dahl and Tavia Teitler, and a good interview there. It is 7:51. Colorado's new Select Committee on Energy held its first hearing Thursday. As Benda Berkland reports, Republicans created the committee to help handle the increased workload that could come from changes by the Trump administration.
Republican Senator Ray Scott of Grand Junction is chairing the committee. He says he wants it to be a forum for education, not argument. He hopes the committee will ultimately help the state reevaluate state energy policy.
And there's no doubt there will be some course corrections in the days and months and years to come, to the delight to some and the dismay of others. This committee was created to help Colorado make those course corrections and deal with those consequences, good or bad.
Republicans hold the majority on the five-member committee. The group will not vote on bills, but will have broader discussions. On day one, it was on statewide energy costs, production, and usage. Democrats made a point to talk about the importance of combating climate change. Scott says upcoming hearings will focus on specific energy sectors. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
News director Gavin Dahl spoke to Sarah Buckley from Advocate Safe House about the film screening they're hosting tomorrow at Hotel Colorado in Glenwood called LunaFest.
Sarah Buckley is community education advocate for Advocate Safe House based in Glenwood Springs. Thanks for speaking to KD&K.
Thank you.
Tell us about LunaFest.
LunaFest is a compilation of short films made by women, about women, and for women. It's actually put on by the Luna Bar Company. They are in their 16th year of LunaFest, and here at the Safe House, we are in our 8th year of hosting LunaFest. It is a national series that tours. It begins in the fall, and then it tours throughout the fiscal year. So we are about halfway through the 2016-2017 LunaFest season right now.
And so this is a couple of screenings on Saturday, which are a fundraiser for Advocate Safe House, as well as an opportunity to eat at local restaurants and support you guys. Tickets are still available for both shows.
Absolutely. So we have a 5 o'clock show and a 7:30 show.
Tell us about your work at Advocate Safe House. I mean, this is really important work that I think doesn't really get the attention it deserves, but also you have the privacy of people to protect.
Absolutely. So at the Safe House, we work with survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. And as advocates, we have what is considered privileged confidentiality, which is the highest level of confidentiality that our country has, which means that our advocates, their records, them as people, none of it can be subpoenaed into court. So we are truly the individual's secret keepers, shall we say, through their experience.
And you can hear the entire interview with Sarah Buckley on Express Yourself today at 4 o'clock.